The thing that made this possible really is that there is a scientific project there, the Ngogo Chimpanzee Project, that's been going for about 30 years now. Now, when they first arrived, the chimpanzees completely wild, and they, you know, have no experience of seeing humans in the forest. So it was very difficult to keep up with them. It was very difficult to be near them. They were fearful of people. But over the years, the scientists very gradually habituated them to human presence. And they do that just simply by following them at a respectful distance. And eventually, the chimps start to understand that the humans are a sort of passive existence in the forest. They're not disturbing them. They're not threatening them. They're just there. So they learn to sort of tolerate humans in a strange way, and then they just kind of ignore them.
Hey, folks, welcome to the show. That's James Reed, a documentary film director with a really cool doc out on chimps. It's on Netflix, talking about sort of how it was possible to spend almost 2 years embedded in the jungle with them. And really fascinating look in terms of how it works to shoot a documentary like this, and just the conversation about what they learned about the chimp society and how it parallels societies that we humans have. And hopefully there's better customer service in the chimp society than there is in ours. But be that as it may, before we get to the full interview, a couple things. I know I've been asking, but please go leave some nice reviews if you can, if you love the podcast on Apple. Want to get my rating up, to be frank. So anything you do to help would be much appreciated. And since the Late Show is on strike and I'm not working that much, if you do it, I will come to your house and rake leaves. If you don't have leaves to rake, I'll bring leaves, throw them on your lawn, and then rake them. But I would appreciate you doing that. On a personal note, I hurt my back actually doing something in the yard and digging a trench because I'm a man, and pulled a muscle or hurt a nerve or something. So I got one of these heat patches that you put on there. And boy, they don't tell you much about the excruciating pain and taking them off. Yeah, my back pain is not nearly as bad as the pain that I'm enduring pulling these freaking things off. I posted a video on my social media at Paul Mercurio, and you can see firsthand what happens to my lower back when I rip off the patch. That's all I'm going to say. I probably wouldn't eat while you're watching it or just before, but check it out. I hope your back doesn't get injured. And if it does, I would just live with it injured rather than go through this patch stuff. Anyway, check it out. Here is James Reed. Really cool conversation with him and this doc that he made. And hope you enjoy it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest this week has an absolutely fantastic documentary out on Netflix called Chimp Empire. It's a film producer, director, James Reed. James is a nature documentary filmmaker, and also previously directed the hit Netflix documentary, My Octopus Teacher. It's great to have you on, James.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
So there's so many questions I have about this. You basically embedded a crew with this sort of society of apes, chimps. How did you even embed them? How do you do it and keep your crew safe and not sort of, impose yourself on the natural sort of existence of this society?
It's a really good question. And it was an ongoing challenge to make sure that we were, we wanted to be as immersed as possible in the chimps' lives. We had a filming period of a year and a half, which sounds like a long time, but if you think that chimpanzees have a lifespan of almost the same as humans, so they can live up to about 60 years old. So actually, that's a small window into their lives. So we wanted to film as much of it as possible. And that meant being with them as much as possible. And they live in quite a vast area of forest. The Ngogo territory is about 36 square kilometers, and they can travel up to 20 kilometers a day. And there's no real way of telling where they're going to be at any given time. So there were huge challenges for us as a film crew. Like, how do we stay with the chimps all the time? And how do we stay close enough to capture the intimate details of their lives, but at a respectful distance so we weren't disturbing them or having any impact on their lives? So it's a really good question, because it is the fundamental challenge of the whole project. The thing that made this possible really is that there is a scientific project there, the Ngogo Chimpanzee Project, that's been going for about 30 years now. Now, when they first arrived, the chimpanzees completely wild, and they, you know, have no experience of seeing humans in the forest. So it was very difficult to keep up with them. It was very difficult to be near them. They were fearful of people. But over the years, the scientists very gradually habituated them to human presence. And they do that just simply by following them at a respectful distance. And eventually, the chimps start to understand that the humans are a sort of passive existence in the forest. They're not disturbing them. They're not threatening them. They're just there. So they learn to sort of tolerate humans in a strange way, and then they just kind of ignore them. So we kind of followed in the footsteps of the scientists, because they were already, you know, they're completely wild animals, do exactly what they want to do, make all their own decisions, and are behaving in a very natural way. But they accept humans to be near them and following them around. So that was absolutely critical to being able to even attempt this type of project. Then the second phase of that is we needed to be able to carry what is normally heavy equipment through rivers, swamps, jungle, you know, a very unfriendly environment for filmmaking. So we made a lot of trial and error over different cameras and tripods and gimbal systems, all of which had to be carried in backpacks by our crew. So we went as lightweight as we possibly could. The crew was fantastic, extremely fit, very talented and instinctive, and we had a very close relationship with the scientists and the Ugandan field trackers who allowed us to get close enough to the chimps that we could really be part of their group and film from within the group.
And when these and by the way, you said that the chimps learn to ignore and then tolerate the humans. It's exactly the way my wife and son treat me in my house. Just a little aside. How do chimps decide? They sort of create these societies and sub-societies, and these groups can become warring factions. How does a chimp? I mean, obviously, familial on a basis, they become part of a group. But how does a chimp decide which group it's going to align itself with? And also talk about the sort of the fascinating sort of, it's eerie the way they parallel human behavior. There's political dynamics, and there's leaders and attempted overthrows. And explain some of that to the listeners.
Okay, now I'll caveat this with, you know, I am not a chimpanzee scientist, so you know, I can only say what my interpretation of it is, but that interpretation is based on a very long relationship I've had with the chimpanzee scientists and some of my own observations. So, I mean, I think I would say firstly that, you know, what's hopefully obvious to anybody watching this series is that chimpanzees are individual personalities. There is no one chimp and one chimp psychology that fits all. So they all have, or at least appear to have, a very different way of managing their own decisions and relationships. And what one chimp does in those relationships, or the decisions that they make about which group they might be with or who they ally with, is completely different to another chimp. And in similar to humans, that's determined a lot to do with life experience, genetics, and also the relationships they've had up to that point. So I think the decisions that chimps make, we can't really know what's going on in their heads, but I think that they have an extremely strong sense of their own group. So they're very, very cooperative with members of their own group to a point, until that cooperation comes into conflict with their own personal agendas. And you see that particularly with male chimps, who are sort of coming up the dominance hierarchy. On the one hand, those males that they're competing with, they're competing for females, they're competing for dominance, but they're also highly cooperative with, because when they are confronted with a threat from another group, all that competition is forgotten and they go side by side in the battle.
You start out any project with certain, I guess, preconceived notions of things. What surprised you about observing this behavior? I understand you're not a scientist, but you know, you were immersed with them for, you know, a year and a half at least, and obviously studied them probably beforehand. What did you walk away from that surprised you? What did you see that you didn't expect in experiencing all of this and filming this?
I think, you know, I knew chimps pretty well. Like I said, I'm not a scientist, but I have filmed chimps quite a lot over the years. I've made one film on the Ngogo chimps before, and I've filmed in the Ivory Coast as well. So I, in filmmaker terms, I know chimps pretty well. And I knew that a big part of chimpanzees and what makes them unique is their the huge differences in their characters and personalities. And I knew that that was a fantastic place to do it. You know, if you want to do a character-driven story in the natural world, chimpanzees are an obvious choice, but because of that diversity in character. And you know that those different characters want different things, and you know that those desires are going to come in conflict with each other. So they're, you know, they are fantastic animals to build stories around, or to document their stories. But I have to say, it was, you know, and we were in the beginning, you know, selling this idea to Netflix, that, you know, and you get in that mode of like of really, really trying to sort of illustrate how extremely different those personalities are. And you keep saying to people you're trying to get behind the project, you know, they're as diverse as human characters. It's going to be that complex. It's going to be that interesting. And you believe it, but there's a little part of you that is thinking, well, we haven't filmed it yet. I really hope we deliver on this. Well, there is this moment.
No, I'm laughing because it's the exact. I mean, I pitch TV shows, you know, from a comedian. I'm a comedian and an actor, and so it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Like, you pitch it, going, it's going to be this, and it's going to be this, and then you go home and you go, man, I hope it's going to be that. Like, no, it's exactly the same thing.
Exactly. I think anybody, and you know, you're not lying about it, but you know that. And particularly in any pitch for finance for a project, you know, you start doubling down on things. You know, you really, you each time you come back to justify it, you know, you're being stronger and stronger in what you're sort of predicting. And then you go home and remind yourself that you really don't know how it's going to turn out. And, you know, that you're hoping for all these things and you're expecting them, but anything could happen. But I think that, you know, as soon as we started really the disciplined, like, we really targeted specific individuals. So, and we would film them not just when they're doing interesting things, but also when they were doing nothing, because you never quite know when a chimp's life is suddenly going to change in its day.
To pick up on what you just said, though, was there some behavior that you ended up seeing that really surprised you in a chimp?
I think there's a few moments that we filmed and saw, but they are spoilers for the series. I don't really want to talk and tell an audience about it now, but there are things in the series that I didn't imagine or didn't expect for chimps of any kind to do. Or, yeah, moments of compassion, moments of ruthless aggression. I mean, there are things, basically, in almost every way and every aspect of chimpanzee life, we got a closer, more intimate look than I thought we would. So I know that sounds a bit like evasive, but most of the most amazing things we saw are kind of our amazing story points in the series.
Well, people really should see it. It's terrific. It's Chimp Empire. It's on Netflix now. And also My Octopus Teacher, we were talking about that at dinner about 2 weeks ago with some friends, and that's really left a big mark as well. You do some amazing work and carrying the torch of Jane Goodall in a way, but it's really terrific work. So congratulations, James Reed, Chimp Empire on Netflix. Great to have you on.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. That's James Reed. Really cool doc. Check it out. It's fascinating what they discovered in filming the Society of Chimps in Uganda. Now, please, if you can, go leave some nice reviews on Apple for the podcast. That would really be great, really be helpful. And check out my social media at Paul Mercurio. And you can see the video that I described about the heat patch on my back. All right, folks, thanks for checking out the podcast. We'll see you next week.